What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino. So here's what I want to know, Nick, is that you covered the camera to reveal yourself, but you did it before the intro.
No, I was trying to get it to rewind balance, but to be honest, I was focusing on a couple of things. One, I was just adjusting some stuff in the latest episode of KFAF, and two, I was just reeling from punishing Andy in the last round.
You destroyed his little ass.
You're such an idiot. No way, dude.
I played you for like a fiddle. Like a fucking fiddle.
I survived. I didn't get it.
Of course you did, Greg. I didn't want, because I let you. I didn't want you to die.
Hey, Nick,
I wanted Andy. I wanted you to see what you have in store for you next time we play, Greg.
Nick, do you remember earlier when you asked, why doesn't Tim play with us anymore? This is why.
This is why. This is why.
Of course, we're talking about Predator Hunting Grounds. We just did a live stream over on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames about that. But that's no surprise when you're talking to the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat, Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globe trotting, head shotting nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
Great to be here, Greg. Great to be. A lot of fragging today, you know?
Well, no, you didn't use any grenades today, did you? Are you using the grenades?
No, just fragging. No, fragging is just killing. Like, frags are kills.
No, like, you're thinking of frag grenades or
frags are kills. No. They've called fragging killing since, like, Unreal Tournament back in the
day. Do you remember Fatality? He was my first esports fan.
Your first fan?
He's a huge fan of yours.
We're tired, man.
I want to know if Fatality. Well, first off, Kevin, give me a Google search. Find out what Fatality is doing. Remember, there's a one in there.
We did this like 3 months ago.
Well, I want to know with an update from 3 months. What's happened? All right.
I Googled Fatalities, but it's just a bunch of Mortal Kombat videos.
Well, put the one in there. There's a one in there, idiot.
Oh, okay. So we're in the all of that.
How's he supposed to know to put the one in there?
I said put the one in there.
I didn't hear you either, Kevin.
Andy,
I didn't hear
what me all is on your bed? Like, I know the peep, sure. And then it looks like a phone and another phone.
Is that a
and
Game Boy Color?
Oh, on my bed?
Yeah.
It's all the Dallas Fuel stuff. I put it on my bed and took a photo of it.
Nice.
I like that you were getting some sunlight in your room, Andy. I didn't even know you had a window.
It's so hot, dude. I mean, because, yeah, I have these curtains or whatever. But it's one of those days, again, in San Francisco where it's 68 degrees. But the sun is just beating on the roof, and it's just all in here, man. It's beating off in here. So it's sweaty. We just finished playing Predator, and my PS4 is already hot, but so is my PC, and it just becomes a whole thing, man.
Yeah. Downstairs where I am, it's freezing cold. Upstairs, it's super hot. But when I transition, it's kind of like that nice pool to hot tub situation.
Sure,
for at least a little bit, it's nice. And I have a couch up there near the windows, and like there's like always a little beam of sunlight that goes right there. And whenever I lay there, I think I'm Portillo. I always think about it. Like, it just feels like he just does that thing where he just like finds that one little area. Reminds me of the original studio.
Yeah.
I guess the only reason it reminds me of that is because that's the only time I really hung out with him for extended periods of time. But he'd always find the sunlight, you know?
He still does that to this day.
Good for him.
Yeah. Got a nose for it, you know?
He's done the thing where he does have a nose for it, where he doesn't, like, now he'll just lay on the bare ground. Just on the hardwood floor, he'll lay there if it's got the sun on it.
It's got to feel good, though, on your stomach and peeps.
It does,
just to lay down on the cold ground.
Well, it's what we've talked about a lot. You know what I mean? Like, Portillo's belly has gotten blacker over the years, and there's been just drunken conversations. Is it the tanning? Is it the fact that he wants to bake in the sun all the time?
Oh,
no one really knows what's happening, and we haven't asked a bet because we don't care that much. He's a dog. You know what I mean?
I was laying in the sun today doing the Portillo thing,
sure.
And Gia and Joey were there, part of this situation, and Gia was like. So, like, you're doing the dog thing. Like, when can we get a dog? And I was like, yeah, me. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, but, like, the dogs are cute. And I'm like, all right, cool. And she's like, I mean, you're cute, too. And I was like, fine. And I was like, so here's the thing, though. Do I get just shit on the fucking floor?
Jesus
and she
Christ.
Was just like, no, like, dogs are cute enough they could do that. I was like, how cute am I? Like, how much shit can I do on the floor for how cute I am? And she gave me one shit a year.
That's if I were married
zero shits a year.
That's not bad.
If I were married to you and I came out and I saw you, like, your back leg shaking as you were shitting on the floor, I would be like, we are getting a divorce. Not because I wouldn't like you, but I'd be afraid that weird-ass tendency would be passed down to my kids, and I don't want to be known as the parent of the kid who shits in class.
Shits in floor.
Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to do it, obviously, but I did think about it. Like, what if I just fucking just left a shit?
You should get a fake shit.
Like in the office.
Get a fake shit and leave it in the corner. And put a note on it that says, this is my one for 2020.
This is it, 2020, man.
Oh, you get like a coupon. Like you have a yearly coupon thing, and you could bust it out and just that's true.
You're passing. Yeah.
You should. Pass. How about this? You laminate the coupon. You laminate it. You fold it up. You eat it, and then you shit. And then Gia eventually finds the shit. She's like, "Tim, what the fuck?" And she's picking it up, and then like see a little shine in there. It's like, "What is this?" Open it up. Here's my free shit. And she's not mad at you anymore. She can't be
mad at all. Not mad at all.
That's a great one.
Now, does he have to eat the note for to do that, or could he just open up his own shit, put the note in, and then
open it? It's more of the surprise, because I think if you open it, the evidence is there. Like anybody who's seen shit before.
Oh yeah, you can't.
Shit has been hassled with. Yeah.
It's like when we made each other's faces in the Academy Award-winning show KFAF, and we had to, like, you just couldn't get the texture right, because no amount of smoothing with your thumbs can really make that nice yogurt shape that your butthole can make naturally.
Yeah.
Jesus. Fatality's still playing games. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think a lot of them do, Greg. I think a lot of them do, man.
That's his job.
I brought up his Twitter.
He's playing, he's playing that Valorant like you, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, so
he's doing it over on Fatality Gaming on Facebook.
So, like, a lot of...
Here's some fun facts about him. He's 39 years old from Independence, Missouri. His personal life on Wikipedia, very brief. Wendell was born on February 26, 1981 to James and Judy Wendell. He grew up in Kansas City, Missouri. Fatality played on his high school tennis team. His parents divorced when he was 13. He moved to Las Vegas, Nevada in 2006 and currently lives on the Las Vegas Strip. That's it. That's all we got.
These Wendell parents getting a lot of his bio.
He lives on the Strip?
I mean, according to this Wikipedia thing, I haven't gone
insane. To that's a crazy lifestyle. He's doing the coke.
I mean, the thing is, I got to assume when you have that sort of lineage, when you have that history in esports, you're getting hired to host stuff here. You're getting hired to commentate stuff here and be an analyst here. You know what I mean? When you've got that brain, when you got that game sense, you're just kind of always in that world.
Maybe it was like 2 or 3 years into IGN, so I probably should have known who he was, but I didn't. I went to an event and I met his his agent person or some sort of manager. Sure. And she was like, she's like, "What do you do?" I was like, "Oh, I'm an associate producer for IGN or video producer, I think that's what they call this." And I was like, "What do you do?" And she goes, I manage Fatality. But she said it like, "Well, I manage Fatality.
Fatality. You know him."
And I was like, it was like the first of, Tim, arguably many instances like this where I froze because I was like, do I, A, in the tree, do I pretend like I know who Fatality is and feign like, whoa, that's so cool? Or do I let it? I froze. I didn't say anything. I think I just went like. Just like Diane Lang in that spot in Superman. He's like, "I found my parents." And she's like. the worst. I feel like that's the take you went with. That's the one you're gonna.
It was meant to show that Martha wants to feign happiness, but is worried about.
It would have been
clear what it was meant to show.
It would have been better if she turned to the camera and said, "Now I'd like you all to think that I'm supporting him, but I'm really hurt by this," and then turned back and just went into the stage. That would have been better.
Andy.
Yeah.
Andy, how many followers do you think Fatality has on Twitch?
On Twitch?
Yeah. Big name like Fatality.
30,000.
All right. Yeah, I was going to say 30.
Andy? I'm going to guess 190.
He has 49,071. Okay. But most importantly, on his Twitch thing here, the first thing he has is the thing I know him the most from, MTV True Life, I'm a Gamer Fatality. And he goes to the YouTube thing here in 4x3. It's glorious. Because you remember, guys, he always had that Beanie Baby cat he put on his computer. I remember.
See, I don't remember this at all. Like, you and Tim, really, like, this, like, you distinctly remember this MTV True Life. And I had, when you all brought it up, I was shocked I didn't know it because I grew up watching fucking Halo montages with the Ogre Twins and all these, you know, Ogre 1 and Ogre 2.
The Ogre Twins?
Yeah, it was these twins, Nick. They were insane at Halo, and there was Ogre 1 and Ogre 2. And there were times where you would be playing Halo, and sometimes you got matched up against them.
Ogre would pop up as the gamer tag, and you're just like,
dude.
Oh, fuck.
It was crazy, yeah.
Oh, that sounds stressful.
It was really stressful.
That sounds stressful, Andy.
Yeah. Alfredo.
Rounding out the quartet. Forbes 30 under 30, aka the second best baby blues in San Francisco, aka the engaged one at Tim Gettys.
Let's him host. Now, Nick, I want to do what you wanted to do. Can we do it all together, everyone?
Oh, yeah, sure. think now my shit's not focused.
It'll be fine. What I know that the reference will be lost on you for the most part, Tim, but I appreciate that your shirt reminds me so much of Tom Nook's shirt in Animal Crossing, his little mm-hmm. island shirt.
Tim,
different Nook. Color, but same vibe, you know?
Tim, are you not on the Animal Crossing train?
Mm-mm. No, he's not cool enough for that. He left
without me.
He doesn't want to play Tim Animal Nook. Crossing. He doesn't want to play Predator. He just wants to get spirits.
No.
That's it, man.
Oh, fuck. Sorry, Nick Scarpino from kindoffunny.com. You have a question?
People were talking about the price of turnips today. Is that an Animal Crossing thing?
That is an Animal Crossing thing, yeah.
Okay.
They've been talking about it a lot, yeah. Normally Mondays and Tuesdays.
Is that when the farmer's market is in your stupid game?
You sell your nips.
It's, you know, it's really successful.
So here's the thing, Greg. He's talking shit about it, but there was a moment while we were recording KFAF where I mentioned Boanna.
Yeah,
And he said, when was the last time you called Joey Boanna?
Yeah.
And I said, actually, in Animal Crossing. And for a split second, I continued my sentence, but he wanted to interject. And he said, you know what I don't like? But I kept talking, so he sort of lost that train of thought. But I could have sworn he was going to say, you know what I don't like? That you all play this game without me. Is that the truth, Nick?
Well, I mean, it's not that cut and dry. But it's just like... It's just that I just want you guys to know that Greg and I have become legitimate best friends.
It's true.
Over the last 3 days playing, just owning people and Predator. So I just don't think you guys understand the importance of what you could be getting out of a very close relationship with me.
It's true. I don't want to, I mean, I don't usually buy in. When Nick's doing a bit, you know, I usually don't go along with it, but I like to stop it here full on and just be like, he's right. You know what I mean? That, like, I know. Our friendship has deepened by the bond of Predator Hunting Grounds. Last night, you know, last night we were on the ropes. It was the first night where the text went out of, hey, do you guys want to hunt the Predator? Because Nick's Predator caused COVID.
That's what it was, Tim. That's what it was. I'm editing KFAF and I get a group text.
Tell me what it is. Read the thread.
We'll do a reading.
Because Andy doesn't remember my G's the way I do.
Yeah, because Andy likes to play fast and loose with what actually was said or what actually happened. Of course, you put it into search and it's like bricks. Here it is. Okay, so this is what happened last night, because we've had a text chain going on for a while here. It's me, Andy, Blessing, Nick. We're the Predators, right? We're out there hunting the Predators, being the Predators, whatever it is. Last night was the first night where we had a stumbling block of maybe we wouldn't be able to play, because at 9:34, Nick texts, guys, I heard the Predator caused COVID-19. We should probably kill that motherfucker. And so then it was trouble, because Blessing says, watching Avatar with a friend right now, kill that mofo, please, and thank you. And then I was like, well, I'm watching something too, and it's my birthday, and we have to eat a cake, and I'm drunk, so I don't know what's happening.
But let me ask you this. Did that text message get your blood going?
You know it did, because I even say it, this thing ends. Well, actually, what I say here is, Blessing is lame, I'm cool, but I'm mid-Chicago Bulls documentary, and we're about to eat cake. Might be able to ditch these broads in 30 to 40 minutes. Also might pass out. Been drinking a lot. Don't remember the time. Dunham needs me to review something tomorrow. Because it was a joke about time passing.
I understand. Yeah, that's good.
And then Andy says, I'm in the middle of editing the Photoshop challenge. Then Nick says, all good. Let's save it for the stream tomorrow. And then I say, okay, but I also just finished the show and the chicks are going to bed. I heard the Predator still roams the halls to this day and needs to be stopped. I can find his people or I can play Streets of Rage. And then you respond back with the Arnold Schwarzenegger gif, Nick, and you say, I think we all know the answer to that question. I'll be on in 5. And then now here's where Nick and I, as co-founders of a company that, you know, it's all for one for all kind of thing, we turn on Andy, who wants to do work for the company.
just a heaping edit that Andy is in the middle of.
Andy, this is me. Andy, I finished Photoshop challenge. Blessing, Avatar sucks. Nick says, Andy, you have so much time tomorrow, bro. So much time. Then I say, if this was Fwiz asking you to play Vizalorant or Burn Blue, you would. And then Andy says, lol, I really don't. Nick, I know, and I'm totally fucked tomorrow night when I have to put everything together, lol. And I said, I'm in college. And then
I'm fucked,
You hopping on or what?
Tim, you need to understand that the two co-founders of the company, my bosses, are saying, fuck your work, come play Predator with us.
I understand. Yeah. And I'm not surprised. I'm also not surprised that for some reason Greg and Lucy were wearing tinfoil hats last night.
That was all Jen's doing. Yeah, if you want to pull up my Twitter, Kevin, you can get into this. Yeah, I tweeted about it where Jen was cooking me obviously amazing birthday dinner, and Lucy's along for the ride. And so, like, I just paid attention to my phone for the briefest of seconds. And then when I came up, Jen had the tinfoil out and was making Lucy and herself a tinfoil hat and shoved it at me and said, make yourself a tinfoil hat. To which I said, I don't understand. She said, make a tinfoil hat. And I said, all right. And I made a tinfoil hat. And so then we sat there wearing the tinfoil hat, You know, I tweet a lot. So scroll on down. You're doing it. You're doing it. Keep going. You can't miss it. I tweet a lot. Sorry, everybody. Here you go.
I want to turn on my fan real quick.
That's us in the tinfoil hat, me and Lucy. This is a candid Jen took. Uh-huh. Before this, there is a shot of all three of us in the hat. And I still don't understand what the reasoning was or where the conversation got here. But we were already a martini down and probably the first bottle of wine down.
Got
so
it.
That explains it. Because it's, you know, time has no meaning. It's my birthday. It's a Monday. Is it? But who cares? You know, cry if I want to, indeed. Yeah. And then in that state of affairs, I got on to play Predator with Nick, and we got some kind of funny best friends off Twitter, and we all had a great time.
Great time. Great time.
And then they were very cool. He took all that learning and just shoved it down Andy's throat and just destroyed him on stream 2 seconds ago. Really, I think injured. I had some early reports from the YouTube streaming platforms and the Twitch things that watch it, the news organizations, TubeFilter, that's what I'm looking for. Yep. They were telling me that they had seen a major drop off in Andy Cortez Twitch subs because they had seen Nick really clown him out.
They were embarrassed.
Tim, it's just, I didn't even want to explain, because Tim, like trying to explain it to you, it's like trying to tell my dad what happened in the Overwatch League.
You know, I get it. I get all of this, man.
I know that a lot of you doesn't care, but I just need you to know that like Nick was fucking awful and we had him beat. And I just see some and like the guys are like, oh, Nick's on us, Nick's on us. So I kind of just run out and suddenly Nick's on me and I'm like, where are they? Why is it? And it's just
all he wants is to take you down, man. That's the thing. It's like you work so hard for this company. You're doing all this stuff. They're just forcing you to play this game. Then you play it, and all they want to do is ruin your day.
Well, not
and
to
then
be,
talk
not,
about it on a podcast.
To be fair, I was talking a lot of shit to Nick because we fucked him up real good.
That's the thing that people don't understand is that Andy has a switch, if you will, if you'll follow me on this, and it's horny got two, it's got horny and I and not horny exactly. When he's horny, he's such an insufferable asshole to deal with. He's so like, I'll be like, oh, I fell off the tree, and then he'll be like, oh, what was over there? Your feet don't work. You don't work there. Oh, guys, his feet don't work. Nah, we got you. And then when he shoots you twice, and you've got a little bit, just a string of blood coming off your shoulder, he tells the other guys that you're gushing blood. Gushing. God, oh God, he's bleeding out. He's gushing blood. Look at him. And I was like, you can't even see me. He just gets in your head.
At the end of the match, Nick was like, I want another go because I want to fucking shut Andy up. He was so mad. Anyway, that's a Gamescast for y'all.
I know, right? This is the kind of funny podcast. Each and every week, four best friends gather around this table, coming to talk to you about what's going on in life. If you want to bullshit around with them, that's great. Go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. You can submit your topics of discussion. You can get the show ad-free. You can watch it live as we record it. And you can get the exclusive post-show all on patreon.com/kindoffunny. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can wait till the show goes up on youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Of course, you got to listen to the ads. Of course, you don't get the post-show. But it's there when you need it. Thank you to the people who went above and beyond, our Patreon producers. I'm talking about Michael Bradley, Mohammed, a.k.a. Momo, Justin Toff, Cameron Regan, Lee Polero. I was screwed up. Kieran O'Donnell, Steve Powers, Drew Garnier Frutis, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer, and DJ Kento. Today, we're brought to you by Purple Mattress, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's get into the rest of our show. Tim?
Yes.
I've been talking to these clowns in the game for what feels like my entire life. We're brothers in arms over here, right? You're now like a second cousin. Give me some. What's going on in your life?
You're so distant right now.
Exactly.
We don't know, man. I just don't get invited to these fun things anymore. That, and also my notifications on my Slack are rarely on, so I don't see them when you guys are doing them there either. But also, you don't need me. I just hold you guys back. Hold you down.
Oh, no. I wasn't saying we need you. I was trying to say what's been happening in your worthless life while we've been having good times.
Oh, yeah. What's going on in your house? Really.
Okay. Wait, why do you have a tape measure down there?
I don't know, just have it.
What do you mean? Is that the tape measure? Is that the tape measure from the studio that I was looking for like 30 minutes the other day?
No, I bought this.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, Eddie?
Stop. Keep going. Keep going.
Nick.
There. Now, let me guess how long it is. I can't, because I can't see it. Let me guess how long it is.
It's clear as day.
It's clearly 2 feet.
I can't see it. No, it's super small. I can't see it from that. It's super tiny on my screen.
28. I saw it there. I got it. I nailed it.
29. 28.
Greg got it. It was 28. Wow.
Look at that HD image of Discord.
You know, I wasn't doing much. I was just chilling on the couch, getting them sun rays.
Just real quick, I wanted to give Nick an update. The tape measure from the studio is in my car. For when we went to measure stuff, I left it there.
Copy that.
You know, sorry about that.
All right, Andy's not eating here anymore. What do you want to get him for his birthday?
I mean, he'd get a fat bag of nothing. Okay. Because it'd be cool.
The intensity in Nick's eyes when he said that.
It's because here's the thing. I don't like when people A are better than me at something. Mm-hmm. And B use that ability to beat the shit out of me and to be cocky and rub it in my face. Now, yeah. C, are you asking me, do I like when Andy does it to Greg? It's the best thing. Of course. It is 200% the best thing.
That never does it though, because I always got the one up on it.
Yeah, when I feel like I'm on Andy's team and Andy goes, oh, he's gushing. Let's go after him. He's bleeding out. And I'm running after Andy knowing full well I can't do anything. I'm not going to, if we encounter the predator, he's going to kill me first. But it just feels so good to be part of the gang, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. So at the beginning of the match, though, Nick made the fatal error of being like, Andy, I'm going to fucking eat your lunch or something along those lines.
Yeah.
To which I said, Nick, you're going to die so fast. And he did.
Well, that was before I couldn't find you guys for 25 minutes. And Greg had to actually like tell me exactly where they were on the map. Like
we're on the northernmost base. All right. There's only
I think
one
where Portillo's gone senile. So I'm used to just helping old dogs get to where they need to be to go to the bathroom and die.
All right.
Hey man, old dogs. You know that movie with Tim Allen.
Today I did order that hot chicken sandwich with the hot Cheetos that you sent me from the makers of Square Pie Guys. Yeah. Now I was betrayed by this order.
Oh wow. Right? Wow.
So here's the thing. It's a hot chicken, like a spicy chicken sandwich.
Yeah, Louisiana sort of Nashville hot chicken.
Yes. But there's hot Cheetos on it. Yeah. Which I'm like, this sounds fantastic. Imagine my surprise when I wait the hour and whatever the hell it takes to get here and I open this thing up. Andy, regular Cheetos.
Oh.
What the fuck?
So
regular Cheetos are like the biggest insult in the world.
Didn't we have this issue when we went to the Canadian National Exhibit?
We did.
Where every time we thought we were gonna get a hot Cheetos-based snack, it was always a standard fucking Cheeto.
These cheap bastards. You know what I mean?
Do you think it's a money thing?
Is that or just a general confusion? I think
it's that they ran out of the hot Cheetos.
I think here's what happens is like it's like everyone's mom is doing the purchasing order. Remember how you'd want something specific and your mom would find the close approximation
to it? Literally that, like, it's that meme of like, I want Ninja Turtles. We have Ninja Turtles at home and it's just some fucking stupid turtle.
Exactly. I feel like
the whole gimmick of this thing is it's a hot Cheeto sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like it says hot Cheetos. It's
You're talking about the Hetchy's hot. I'm reading right here. Yeah. Flaming hot dust, hot Cheetos, garlic mayo, pickled jalapenos.
Now, can I ask a question? You said it took 40 minutes to get to you. Do you think that was enough time for the hot to wear off?
That's true.
I
mean,
I haven't thought of that perspective, but
or I doubt it. The delivery driver ate the hot Cheetos, realized, oh,
put them back on.
One by one.
I'm going to run a scenario by you guys. It's kind of a non sequitur, but it has to do with delivery drivers. Before all this COVID madness started, I ordered from Postmates. And as the woman drove up with my stuff, I ordered. So all I did was order two orders of sweet potato fries. Now, did I pay an extra
$7? $48.
It was $16 to get two orders, and it's $8 in the store. You guys do the math on that. It was a terrible, but it was one of those days. I was like, I'm just going to treat myself today. As the car pulls up, I see the woman driving, and she had a friend in there with her. And I swear to God, I saw the friend finishing off a fry. As I was walking up to the car, and I was like, did I see that? Now, what would you guys have done? Because I'm pretty sure she reached in the bag and took one of my fries and ate it.
You know me, I hate confrontation. I can't deal with conflict. Yeah. I'm like Tim when it comes to confrontations. Like they could have had the bag eaten in front of me and be like, here you go, bitch. And I would have been like, thank you. Here's an $8 tip. $8 tip. Yeah, I just tip. I can't speak out against that, so I'm too scared.
Last time I ordered.
Well, the problem is you don't know.
I don't know.
Right? That's the issue. Is that you think you saw that, but maybe she also had fries. Maybe she did whatever. You don't know.
That's
Are you sure that it was a sweet potato fry?
That's the thing. I cannot confirm nor deny that it was orange. I just know that it was fry shaped as it went into her mouth because I saw more of a silhouette of what was happening, and then I saw her chewing. When I got to her, there was no chewing. So from the door to her door, which is maybe 15 feet, the chewing had stopped, which is why I think maybe I just imagined it. Because you can't chew a fry in 3 seconds. Can you chew a fry?
Onto something.
Oh, yeah, you could.
Yeah, 3 seconds?
3 seconds. Chew a fry.
I can chew 12 fries in 3 seconds.
Exactly, right?
Then, oh, man, I don't know. Get this. Let me throw this other scenario by you guys.
Okay.
Tell me what you do. Yeah. I order Taco Bell, right? It's like midway through week two of COVID. And I'm like, I just need
this COVID madness.
This COVID fucking pandemonium. And I was like, I just need some T-Bell. So I ordered my standard order of four things. That's approximately two too many things. Just ensure that when I get to the third one, I have to basically stuff the fourth one down and try not to throw up. But that's how you should eat Taco Bell. The guy gets here. And now granted, here's what I order. I order the nachos. I order a five-layer burrito. I order a bean and cheese burrito with red sauce. And I order a crunchy taco as a finishing glaze.
Of course. Yeah. It's a little dessert.
But,
yeah.
Exactly. But Andy, out of those, the Nacho Supreme is the centerpiece for my meal. It's the turkey, if you will, for the Thanksgiving meal.
The entree. Yeah.
It's the entree. Yeah. What do you think this guy forgot when he got there?
Mm. Oh, God. Main damn thing.
Hands me a bag this big, Greg. This big. And he hands it to me. He goes, listen, man, you might have noticed. And this is how he says, the bag is smaller. I didn't even notice that it was small. I didn't even look in. I forgot to order your nachos. And I was like,
you're like, well, get your ass back in the fucking car.
I thought about it, but I was like, this is why we order the extra element, right? The extra item is because for situations just like this, where I'm like, I'm going to be fine. I ordered extra. Don't worry about it. Just make sure I don't get charged for it. And he was like, well, you can go in the app. You got to do that. I can't do that. I was like, okay, no problem. Then he goes, but I can go. I can run to the taqueria right around the corner and get you whatever you want there. That's what he said. And I was like, I don't want the taqueria right around the corner from me.
I ordered Taco Bell.
20 minutes, like a 10-minute drive from here because I didn't want to get my car.
Yeah.
If I wanted the taqueria, I would have just gotten my happy ass out with my shorts, no underwear, and just gone in there and just made a spectacle of myself. Like my grandma used to wear sweatpants and her best heels to the base.
God bless her.
Meemaw.
Gotta love it.
Here's what I got right now. So yeah. I have a text drafted on your behalf, Tim, to the Square Pie guys.
Well, let's not do that.
Gentlemen, Forbes 30 Under 30 winner Tim Geddes has lobbed a complaint on the live Kind of Funny podcast that you're putting regular Cheetos on sandwiches and not hot Cheetos on the sandwiches. Would you care to comment on this allegation on the record right now?
Tell him I'm pissed off too.
See, Andy, this is the thing. This is the confrontation. This is what we don't want.
Greg, I like,
don't want. Well, I'm glad that we have Uncle Greg and Uncle Nick here to fucking get involved.
First off, you can try to turn this around on me right now, as you are. But I would say it's even more cowardly in bitch move to fucking talk shit on a podcast and then what? Just let it go out in the ether? You think they're never going to hear it? You think they're not going to be crying in their Square Pie guy boxes hearing about this?
I mean, here's my thing. I was upset about the Cheetos more than the situation. Like, it's like, whatever. I'm just more mad that regular Cheetos.
Do you think maybe
exist.
They don't know? Maybe, you know what I mean? They don't know the difference between Cheetos.
These motherfuckers know the difference. Everyone knows the difference.
Nick Scarpino, kindoffunny.com.
Now, Greg, you know how sometimes at the Senate level, when they try to pass bills, they'll shoehorn in other shit in there just to see what they can pass. So they need like a $400 billion small business loan aid program, but they'll also shoe in there like some extra bullets.
Yeah, but people can't get abortions anymore or something. They'll put in
there. They can't get abortions, but they'll try to get, like, I don't know, top of my head, maybe something we could ask for here, just some extra bullets in The Last of Us.
Sure.
Can we tag Neil Druckmann in this as well?
Is that a text, so no. That would be weird if I texted them, but I added Neil to this conversation between me, the Square Pie guys, and Jen.
That might be a little too far, a bridge too far.
I appreciate it, though.
No, but here's the thing. Like, Tim, talk your shit. Let's talk our shit. But it's the second that they want to talk back to us that I say, oh, man, I'm not a fan of this situation, you know?
I'm just saying, you're slandering them, Tim, and you should let them
It's
respond.
Not slander. I'm
they
just
should be brought to a court of law if they're lying. If they're false advertising, you could be saving them a lot of trouble. Because right now, you're being nice about it, just talking about it on your podcast. Somebody else goes to the Better Business Bureau. That's
Seuss.
Seuss. False advertising.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How does false advertising work?
I've always wondered, Tim, because I've wanted to look into something like that.
Yeah.
Is that now, Andy? Can I ask the question everyone's thinking about?
Yeah.
Did you want to look into it because we falsely advertised your role here at Kind of Funny?
Possibly.
Yeah. Okay.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. Possibly.
So I really don't want Andy to sue me. I'd be so mad. Like, out of everyone, I'd be most mad if Andy sued us at the end of the day.
I would just text him, like, dude, no, please, like, just
dude,
stop.
Hey, man, be cool, man. I'd be like,
be cool.
All
right. Yeah. Like, I feel like if Andy or Blessing, like, if Blessing sued us, I feel like we could just. What, like another crate of Butterfingers to make that go away? What? Yeah, how many Butterfingers is it going to take?
He fucking loves those goddamn Butterfingers.
So ridiculous. I'll be honest with you guys. I don't crave Butterfingers. I never crave Butterfingers. But once I start down the Butterfingers road, it is a dark.
It's hard to get. It's hard to detour. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like the little bites, the little ones you get at the movie theater. That box is gone. I can't start. Don't even open it in front of me unless you want me to eat the whole thing.
Hold on. I have an answer for you here.
Oh.
In the United States, the federal government regulates advertising through the Federal Trade Commission with truth in advertising laws and additionally enables private litigation through various statutes, most significantly the Lanham Act, trademark, and unfair competition. The goal is prevention rather than punishment, reflecting the purpose of civil law in setting things right rather than criminal law. The typical sanction is to order the advertiser to stop its illegal acts or to include disclosure of additional information that serves to avoid the chance of deception. Corrective advertising may be mandated, but there are no fines or prison time except for the infrequent instances when an advertiser refuses to stop despite being ordered to do so.
A lot of words. Tim,
you want to be sending them to jail. You know what I mean? You have to worry about that. Well, because I'll call the FTC on this podcast if you want.
I do. I would like you to do that.
Okay, I think I think there's gonna be a lot of holding with that. You know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, they're like, working from home. I gotta get transferred.
They're not answering the phone then.
No. I think if I were to try to sue Tim or the company, yeah, it would get to the point where you know I have these lawyers purchase and they're on retainer or whatever all the words you think about, right?
Sure.
You're renting out a lawyer or whatever. You call and then Saul. Nick will call me and be like, "Hey man, how about you just be cool?" And I'll be like, "You're right." And all my lawyers would be like, "No, dude, you hired us. Like, we're here now." I'd be like, "Ah, oh, fuck."
You'd be like, "You'd be like, can you guys at least pay for my lawyers?" And Tim would be like, "You see, the thing is,
that's a situation Andy, you would never want to be there because then you're going to upset at least one party. You're either upsetting your bros, us, or your lawyers.
Fuck those lawyers. Are they playing predator with you?
Great point. You know what I mean? Are they telling you you have a get out of jail free pass and you don't have to do your work? You know what I mean?"
I mean, you're
taking it so hard of like, well, I got to do this work for the, you know, and my bosses are telling me not to do the work. Like, that's a treat. You know what I mean?
So cool, man. Do you know how many times Fran Mirabella
told me to
do it? You know how many times Fran Mirabella gave me the out to do work? None. I'll never forget. Germany. 2012.
Boom, okay. Boom. Kyle, get ready for the edit on this one.
we're in Cologne, Germany, right? I'm not sure if I'm saying that right because I always say it like Cologne, the stuff you put on your body.
No, it's Cologne like that. You got to email me.
Cologne.
And it's like day two of the worst convention I've ever been to. Now, Greg, you've done Gamescom, right?
I did the last Leipzig and I've never been back.
Oh, Gamescom was even worse. So Leipzig was big. Gamescom is like huge. Hundreds of thousands of people go to this thing. They're packed in. Nobody's even heard of a shower. I don't know where these people come from, what native tribes they come from, but they're bush people. They come in. They're stinky pinky. I'm shooting off-screen footage of every game there. We've got a fucking – Fran had a list of every game imaginable.
Sure.
So half of these games weren't even there, but we had to go look for them anyway. And I'll never forget – the one game we didn't cross off the list was like Scooby-Doo's DS Adventure.
Sure.
And Fran's like, "Well, I need someone to go out and get some off-screen of Scooby-Doo's DS Adventure." And he looked at Tyson first, and Tyson went, "Fuck no, I am not doing that." And he looked at me, and my bitch ass.
You folded.
Fucking grabbed a camera. And I think I went out and shot. I think I fucking went out to look for it. It wasn't even there. I'm trumping this camera. Now, when I say you have to like hold the camera above the crowd, like you're in fucking Vietnam and your rifle can't get wet. It was the worst. I'll never forget Fran.
Can you imagine how angry Nick would be there? Oh my God. Can you just see him grabbing the camera? Just
holy shit.
Looking for the Scooby-Doo DS.
So moody.
It was the worst. It was the worst. That was back when it was like, if you like, and you would go and you'd be like, "I want to get off-screen footage," and people hadn't even – this was probably before 2012. This might have been like 2008, 2009. Like whatever year, whatever the first year Gamescom was in Cologne. But like they people would be like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" I'm like, "Well, I want to just shoot the screen while someone plays." And they'd be like, "I don't think – no. That doesn't sound smart or even anything. That doesn't sound like something someone would want to watch." And I'm like, "I agree with you. Can you please come back with me all the way 4 fucking miles back to the war room and explain this to my boss? Because I think this is a stupid idea too." Yeah.
That was different. It was a different time. You needed everything. They wanted you to have every, you know, IGN wanted everything they could possibly have.
I get it. I get it.
All the content in the world.
Right? I understand. People want to watch off, you know, it's like that time that they released the trailer for Batman v Superman. We're all jacked about it. Because it was like,
and it worked out. You remember for a while there, for a hot minute, number one on DCEU in review. So
we were very excited. It was
for a while.
It was for a while.
Remember when Fran got an assistant in E3?
Yes, I do. All of us
were so mad because it's like, Fran, what the fuck do you need an assistant for? Second off, everyone else is doing more work than you are. You're just kind of sitting there with an assistant sitting next to you.
He got us.
Then we turned the assistant on him. Yeah. Every year he kept bringing this guy back. I forget the dude's name now. What a he was an awesome kid.
He was a nice guy.
We would all just convince him to fuck with Fran that he wouldn't. Yeah. E3's happening. We're all doing our work and shit, kind of. We're also just making fun of Fran. We look over and Fran's like, this assistant's just fucking with Fran.
Because Fran would be like, this, circle, hey, here's what I need you to do. I need you to get me a cactus cooler. Can you do that for me? Now you're going to go. And then he explained how to do it. He's always like, well, you're going to go to the supermarket around the corner because you're going to think it's the right idea, but they don't have the cactus coolers that I want. So I'm going to need you to walk 15 miles. And if you see a Scooby-Doo on the DS, make sure you get some of that off-screen footage. That was the best. I fucking forgot that you were there for that. I forgot you were there the year Fran had an assistant.
Oh my god, it was so good.
The thing about Fran is he's always so hardworking that it used to piss me off because I was like, can you just fucking let me slack off for one set? Like, we won. We just destroyed E3. They would be like, the numbers are in, guys. We got 15 billion impressions. And I was like, I don't know how you guys are adding those up, but it sounds cool. You know, like, that's great. We got a lot of views on our stuff. That's cool. And then Fran, but like everyone would be celebrating. Fucking, you know, Pear and Tal would be over there just fucking doing whatever the fuck. And then Fran,
what were they doing?
I was going to say jerking each other off, but I think that didn't sound very respectful for my team.
And then nothing about this conversation has been respectful to anyone we worked with.
But meanwhile, Fran's still over in the corner, like making sure shit's uploading to fucking.
Where's that Scooby Doo?
We got to make, well, Scooby Doo is not just on the DS. It might be on the fucking Sega Genesis too. So we got to make sure it's on the legacy Sega Genesis. I was like, Fran, you care way too much about this. Way too-
legacy Sega Genesis. I
love him so fucking much.
Oh no. Oh no,
I hate you, Greg. I'm ringing Fran, everybody, if you're an audio listener. We're going to solve this. We're going to get to the bottom of these issues.
Why can't you just let me have it? Why can't you let me have it? I'm done. I'm leaving.
He's in night mode. He's not going to answer. He's working.
I saw Greg doing something.
When I saw Greg looking down, I fucking knew he was up to something, dude.
I got plates spinning in different area codes over here. You guys don't even know what I got coming on this show, right? I'm just saying, if somebody's mad, you know, we're gonna talk shit about Fran. We got to get Fran in here, and he's not answering.
It's true. Hey, listen, I respect that. I want to give him the. We talk way too much shit. Well, I say we. It's mostly me. I talk way too much shit about Fran without giving him the opportunity to
swing back.
So I would love to hear his perspective on how I was as an employee.
There's a whole, oh my God, tomorrow's KFAF, there's a whole like 3-minute back and forth where you and I just become Fran.
Now hold on, speaking of talking shit and not getting to respond back here, hold on.
Oh, great. Well, he called in.
Bye guys, that she's hot. This is Mark.
Hey Mark, it's Greg Miller from kindoffunny.com. You're live on the Kind of Funny podcast. We have some serious allegations about the hot Cheetos.
Oh crap.
You can curse. Fucking say whatever the fuck you want. It's cool.
I just talk shit about my old boss.
Exactly. So what is the thing here? Because we don't want to go to the FTC and file a false advertising claim, but we will.
The FTC or would you go to the FDA?
We don't know.
Give
us advice.
All right. No, I mean, look, it's a very astute observation. It wasn't something that we are trying to false advertise. Unfortunately, our supplier sent us regular Cheetos, which, insight into the restaurant world, sometimes you order something, they send you the wrong thing. I'm sure it happens in a lot of businesses. Thankfully, we make our own proprietary Hetchy's Hot trademarked hot Cheeto replica dust that's hotter, and we tossed the Cheetos in that dust.
Okay,
so
I did notice that.
That was our answer until we can get a new case of hot Cheetos.
Okay, good.
Unless there's some like shortage of hot Cheetos that I don't know about.
It's a pandemic. Nobody knows anything. You know what I mean? Right. Nobody knows what Chester Cheetah is up to in these troubling times.
We have a Chester Cheetos plush doll that we're taking pictures with for Instagram. Watch out for that.
But oh, okay. Wow.
How did you figure that out?
Oh, because it's this real quick where everybody can hear you. You sadly can't hear them because the way it's all set up. Tim figured it out because him and his fiance are obsessed with hot Cheetos and they could blind taste test them out of a million different things.
Oh Oh my God.
We have this young kid who works with us too named Andy, and he's never had a hot Cheeto or any kind of flaming hot thing. And it's embarrassing.
He's a liar. He's a liar. He's lying.
Step your game up, Andy.
Come exactly, on. Right. And Andy also just lost a whole bunch of games to Nick in this Predator game. It's real embarrassing because Andy streams all the time.
Fuck this podcast.
You should make Andy eat hot Cheetos every time he loses.
Yeah, I agree. It'd be nice to, you know, be a good turnaround there. And it's just that thing, he doesn't like it, and he's a weirdo, and it sucks. So, yeah.
Stop! What's that?
Well, thanks for letting us clear the air.
And no,
thanks,
I'm proud.
Tim, for calling us out.
Hey, man, we keep everybody honest in the food industry. All right,
yeah.
So don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It was really good. Tell them that.
Wait, what was that,
Tim? We all enjoyed it. The house enjoyed it.
Four or five of them yesterday, and I'm not happy with myself.
No, it's
right
fine.
Now, but I was yesterday.
Good. Well, no, you can get back there. And Tim points out that the entire house enjoyed the head cheese hot sandwiches. So you did great. Like this, it was there. It was just this hot Cheetos advertising that he wanted.
Yeah, now you feel bad. You fucking
don't try to back here. Yeah, bro.
Both are monsters.
Okay, I won't. Right? All right, thank you so much. No problem. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye guys.
Square pie guys, everybody. Give them some
support. Now I got to be honest with all of you, some of my best friends in this entire planet. All right?
Sure.
I didn't want you to call him, not because I was scared of the confrontation, mainly because I didn't want to get called out for being wrong.
Oh no!
I'm very happy that
Tim, you
got to
trust yourself. Well, no, here's the thing:
I was very.
Dude, you know
very
the sure, you fucking know the difference between a Cheeto and a flame.
I know, but like he said, they did put the dust on, and it was a lot hotter than normal hot Cheeto dust, but it didn't taste like the double extra hot Cheeto dust. Like that's what, a lot of stuff going on there. But Andy, you brought up something very interesting a second ago about this hot Cheetos when we were in Canada. And anytime we got hot Cheetos on stuff, even if they were hot Cheetos, by the time we're eating it, they've been processed through so many different things. They don't have any of the elements and qualities of the hot Cheeto.
See, that's what I thought had happened. What I was joking around, but serious talk. I thought they just shipped it to you. And because it took so long, the moisture of the sandwich wrapped in, like took off some of the hot dust to the point you couldn't taste it anymore. But I guess it really was a Cheeto.
I thought he was clearly going to go the route of, look, we did not knowingly buy. Like, I thought he was going to go the steroid route. I did not knowingly inject myself with any of these illegal substances, you know.
It turns out
Frito-Lay delivered them and we used them. The box set, you know, I do what Frito-Lay says, look, the box.
Yeah.
These were manufactured in the same barrel where regular Cheetos are manufactured. Yeah,
exactly.
It's a tainted supplement. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened.
Now, I appreciate their honesty, though.
Oh, hey. But then and also, I mean, for real, like I had the sandwiches yesterday. Nutshell this, because I know it's confusing probably to people who don't follow us and stuff.
Craig, nutshell.
Square Pie Guys, the pizza place we're obsessed with, has started a delivery takeout sub brand called Hetchy's Hot, which is just chicken sandwiches. And they have a bunch of different chicken sandwiches, some including hot Cheetos. Okay, now we're caught up. I had it yesterday and they sent the sampler of all the sandwiches. They were great.
I think the problem that a lot of these companies go through when they try to do the powder, right? Like this is the hot Cheeto powder. It never works. Just like Tim was mentioning, whether it's been processed or not, Tim, I don't know. Like, I think if you were to just put the Cheeto inside of the product and then took a bite, you would feel the heat more as opposed to the powder. When Greg made,
but that's it though. That's what the picture looks like, Andy. That's what I wanted. That's what I expected.
The Cheetos are on there. Yeah.
So what they did, it's a hot Cheeto. I mean, it's a chicken on the buns. And then there's dust on the chicken, but then there's just hot Cheetos like piled all over it. Yeah, that's what I was excited about.
Kevin, can you hear all
this? This sounds fucking awesome, by the way. Like, this sounds like
right now, Kevin. I just sent Kevin the for Hetchy's Hots sandwiches, the new thing here. Yeah.
Greg made wings one time with hot Cheeto dust crust, and they just weren't hot because the dust just loses all flavor.
But look at that, Andy.
You see that looks delicious. That looks insane. But I don't like bread. I don't want bread on it.
Why are you so fucking weird?
What if I just had, because like, look, if I'm going to put something in between two buns, I want it to be beef. Okay. I want a burger.
How many inches of that beef you want to put in them
keep
buns?
Baby.
Hey, Tim, can I see what 5.5 looks like in your hand? That's not bad.
That's pretty good. Okay. It's not bad. Yeah.
You'll take that.
Feeling pretty good.
Andy, can I ask you a question? This is probably the most important question of our friendship.
Okay.
You ever sucked all the cheese dust out?
Of course you did.
Oh, the lead into that is fucking incredible.
We broke Andy. Andy's gone.
Oh my God. You just did the prolong. Have you ever sucked?
What was the question?
It just sucked all the cheese dust off of Cheeto. That's what I wanted to know, you sick fuckers.
They were just in such close succession. No, I never have. That's gross. Oh,
that's a lie. You totally have.
No, I hate that. It's fucking gross because you get the Cheeto soggy. That's super
naked,
gross.
It's a naked Cheeto. Fuck,
I feel like lightheaded.
Oh my God. After talking about dick size, following that up with Handy, have you ever sucked a...
sucked all the...
Definitely not planned. Definitely. See, Tim, this is the shit you're missing when you don't go hunting with us every night.
Yeah.
Come on. Come home with us tonight, Poppy. We can leave Blessing at home. Blessing's got 15 seasons of Avatar to get through.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get that.
Oh, yeah. James Cameron, I think, you know, easily like one of the best creators of all time. So I get why he's watching Avatar. Really, really good stuff. Really good stuff.
Matt Bowers writes into patreon.com/kindoffunny and says, hey, Kind of Funny gang, I was curious as to what you think a Kind of Funny movie would be about if one was ever made. Should it be a road trip slash rescue movie where Andy has finally joined Funhouse but realized he belongs at Kind of Funny, only to be held hostage and not be allowed to leave, forcing the crew to drive down to LA and save him? Or maybe something really crazy, like a sci-fi thriller where aliens slowly replace the Kind of Funny crew and it's up to Nick Scarpino, armed with his knowledge from action movies, to fight them off, get his friends back, and save the world. A bug just landed on my glasses. Gross.
That's kids.
Please discuss what you would want to do in a Kind of Funny movie. And as always, thanks for all you do.
I love the Funhouse angle because I think it would be sure really cool to, for like where I am leaving and I'm going to Funhouse because it's a great place to work and like just the views are insane over there.
I'm going to sue you.
But I go over there, right? But it seems very, y'all are bummed out that I'm leaving. It's like, damn, man, he's leaving. But like, you know, he's doing what he feels is best. And then I think it's what's best as well. But then I start noticing fucked up things every once in a while. And I start noticing that.
What do you notice? Give me some of the fucked up examples.
Now James Williams doesn't like The Last of Us, right, as a franchise, or Naughty Dog games in general. Yeah. And I know that Elise has murdered several people, right, in her past. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't know about it. People cover that up. But
Adam Kovic eats glass.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's all this like dark shit in the past, and all that stuff starts sort of getting worse. It's almost like Get Out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where all this bad stuff kind of keeps on happening and suddenly I'm feeling less and less comfortable. And I kind of make a call like, hey, guys, can you guys get to L.A. anytime soon? And then as soon as I'm about to leave, because you guys just arrived at the airport for me, as soon as I'm about to leave the building, they're just like, oh, you can't leave, Andy. You're stuck here. And then it becomes a Andy needs our help sort of thing.
I love this because it creates a conflict immediately, right? You've chosen to leave our company. So we all dislike you on that, but we're loyal to you still because you're the sweet, sweet candy Andy.
Predator.
And we have to get over that on the way down there. I'd like to propose this, that they're actually aliens who lull unsuspecting contributors into their midst to then eat them and replace them with body doubles. So that if we don't get to you in time, they're going to basically suck all your juice out of you and then have an alien go into your skin, just like Edgar from Men in Black.
Your skin's falling off your bones.
I think that we could pull this off. I'm going to write this during quarantine.
The big question would be like, would we want him back? Would we want Andy back?
That's the B story. That's the love story.
Kevin, can I get a quick fact check? Do we have, if they turn their back on us, are we loyal to them?
No.
Thank you, Kevin.
The button. Kevin, you gotta set up a hotkey for that fucking button.
You gotta figure something out.
What?
I love it because it's so like loud. You know, it's about God's about to talk.
It's so loud.
It's helpful on interview when I'm doing like the plot summary and I hear it. I'm like, oh, Kevin's got something to say.
I have so much noise happening around me.
No, but he's saying when you hit the mute button, it's really loud. It goes gonk gonk.
No, I know. Mine sound like but that? I also have like, I'm taking notes and I'm doing a whole bunch of other shit, like pulling up random stuff.
You could set up a keybind to like.
No, control. I understand. I know. Mm-hmm. I could press a button on Streamlabs and do that, or the Stream Deck. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, I forget to do that because I.
But it can become part of the arsenal. You know what I mean?
I don't know,
you
man.
You forget, but then you start learning.
I see. That was muted. That's perfect. We didn't even hear the clunk clunk. You know.
Well, yeah. Sure. I don't know. That's wait, do we better. Hear the clunk? Kevin, I think it's just Kev. Like, Andy, can you give me a clunk clunk?
No, everybody gets a clunk clunk.
It sounds like a clunk clunk for me. Why? Let me try it. Hold on.
Just, you guys don't
it's
mute.
When you hit the mute button, but I don't have, like,
it's
I haven't
come back. Clunk clunk?
No.
I haven't set to my end button. See, I'm talking. Uh-huh. But then I talk again. And then
really good, but do it on the proper thing.
Yeah, we hear it when you come back. It's impossible not to hear a clunk clunk. But yeah. Andy's right. Kevin, look into that hotkey.
There's so much noise. There's so much noise here. I'm going to forget. Because I was forgetting. I had it as a key command. I think I still do. I believe it's asterisk.
If Andy calls and he's like, guess what? Funhouse is terrible, and that's why Bruce got turned into an alien and he left, and Lars got turned into an alien and he left. I'd be like, well, that's Lars. On you, man.
All right, you're going to be an alien. Lars. Here's what I'm saying, Lars and the real girl. Here's what I'm saying. We're developing these characters. So your character will be the one who feels most slighted because you feel like Andy has betrayed us. He My character, of course, then we'll shift Nick over to a character who is completely out of character for me as a human being, right? I am the character that I'll just switch on a dime and go, we have to save Andy because I want him back for the next season of KFAF.
See, yeah. I would be on team save Andy, and I feel like I would then convince Kev pretty easily. And then we'd at least have everything we need to get you out of that.
I think you could convince Kevin fairly. You could get Kevin fairly easily if you just left a trail of brand new tools between here and like LA.
It's true.
Just go and like pick them
up. That's a long ass trail.
There's a lot of tools though, Kevin. Think about how dope your garage would be.
I feel like I've got most of the tools I want. Yeah, I got maybe like four more than I'd like to get.
Flamethrower.
You son of a bitch, he's in.
I know.
I feel like we'd save you by the end.
What roles would Joey and Cool Greg and Barrett and Blessing play?
Well, I feel like it would split the family. Like, I feel like there would be, you know, it'd be a house divided, sure, and everyone would have to figure out what side they land on this. And that's
we all
that's
come like out.
No. That's what we're talking. That's all the
no, we're talking about for the that.
It happened. That's got to be Greg's. Joey is basically Oracle. Okay, she's not gonna come with us because she knows damn well that car ride down there is gonna get horribly stinky.
She's like Anthony Edwards in Revenge of the Nerds.
And Cool G is this character exactly. Yes.
Thank you.
Exactly. But actually, Revenge of the Nerds 2. I was gonna say he didn't want to be in the movie that much, so they just broke his leg and left him at home. Cool Greg, I'm gonna throw this out there for you guys for a character.
Wait,
for
me.
He just kind of appears everywhere. Like, we didn't tell him we were going to LA, but he's just there sometimes.
Mm. Yeah.
When we need him.
He's and just then, like in Skid Row.
Yeah. He's just hanging out. And then like we're like, and then he comes in and basically saves all our asses at the very end of it. Like, he's like
he brings an army.
It's like, we set it up and he brings an army of taggers because, I mean, here you go, Tim, you just fucking nailed it. What is the one weakness that these aliens have? They can't get killed by bullets. Water. Give it to me. I'll put it in my mouth. Spray paint. Spray paint is the one that just destroys them.
So we have the one thing for that. Yeah, cool, great.
Right, to get us the focused nozzles.
Just focused nozzles. Well, I'm just happy we save you at the end of the day, Andy.
We definitely save you, but then we have to kill all. Well, I mean, there's Rooster Teeth. What happens if Rooster Teeth gets invaded? And Jeff and Bernie and all those and Barb, they're all aliens. We have to go take them down.
I'm not sure Bernie exists anymore.
Where is he now?
I've seen like a tweet every once in a while from him, but
I feel like he's just gonna like retire to some Jamaican island like James Bond.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is how the new James Bond starts, which is fucking cool. Did you know that, Tim? I don't know if you've read the plot synopsis, but that's so fucking cool.
Well, it's in the trailer.
Is it?
Yeah.
I love it.
Gia's reading the James Bond books because of you, Nick.
Is she liking them?
Yeah, she is. She read Casino Royale and then she bought the next one.
Wait, they made books? Wait. Were they adaptations?
No. He wrote the books first.
Who wrote the books?
James Bond wrote himself into a book.
Yeah. Biography pieces, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, actually, if you want to get technical about it, Ian Fleming was in the OSS, I think, during World War II or I. Maybe
two. I think it was Tom Clancy.
He probably did not know Tom Clancy. I think he probably died before Tom Clancy was rising to fame because he smoked a lot of cigarettes. But he wrote all those books from his cool office on his villa called Goldeneye in Jamaica. Fucking and then he loved Jamaica so much. That's why he based a lot of the Bond adventures there. Bond, as you know, he worked for a quote unquote, I think it was an exports company. They gave a nod to it in Quantum of Solace when he gives a card to someone. It's like import export or something like that. But Art it was based Vandalay. Out of Jamaica. Art Vandalay. Yeah. Oh.
I would like to know more about Tom Clancy. How did he get up in all this? Like, I just don't know anything about him. Like suddenly he's got all these books. It's always these books.
Wow, Tom Clancy does not look like what I thought Tom Clancy would look like.
Oh, I gotta go.
He actually looks a lot like my friend Clay's dad back in the day.
Clay Clancy?
That's a dope name.
Nope.
Clancy's literary career began in 1984 when he sold his first military thriller novel, The Hunt for Red October, for $5,000, published by the small academic Naval Institute Press of Annapolis, Maryland.
Wow, he does not look like what I imagined either.
Yeah, no, you were right.
He wrote so many fucking books. He's like, look up how many books he's written, because I know I think he's still alive, but I think he's not writing the books anymore.
He died in 2013.
There are several photos of him where it looks like he's wearing glasses that have fake eyes, but he's really asleep. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Fake eyes. It doesn't look like he wrote that many books.
Maybe I'm thinking, because I know they continued the Tom Clancy brand with other people.
Of authorized authors.
Yeah, that might be what I'm thinking.
On. They wrote a fair amount of books. It looks like he did about 20, I would say.
Kevin, I'm sending something to assets.
Tim, if I can name at least 10 of those books right now.
Yeah.
Will you order me a hot Cheeto sandwich?
Yes. But also, I just want to let you know that one of them that I don't think you would name is Red Storm Rising.
I would have named that. I would have
Really? Would you really have?
I would have named that. I would have named The Bear and the Tiger, I think, is one of them.
Wait, hold on. Red Storm
Rising. Are we doing the game?
Real quick.
Let me just say this before we start the game. The picture of Tom Clancy, right, doesn't it look like those are glasses where you're asleep behind it, but it's
so weird.
It's got fake eyes on the outside.
I mean, they do now. They're see-through glasses.
Yeah, but it looks like behind that he's really napping.
I feel you. So Red Storm Rising was in 1986 with Larry Bond.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's like a knockoff ass James Bond.
I'm gonna try to write these down now. Using, of course, The Hunt for October.
How many do you have to get? I'm sorry.
Ten.
I'm gonna say I'm gonna say Hunt for October. Sum of All Fears.
Oh,
I'm gonna say Clear and Present Danger.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm
a few gonna, good men.
No, stop, Andy, because you know you fuck with me every time we do Surgery Station, and this is what fucks. Hunt for October, Clear and Present Danger, Some of All Fears, fuck, he did two of them. Fuck, what's the other one that he did? Okay, let me just keep going on here. Rainbow Six is one that he wrote.
Yes, it is.
He wrote, did I say The Bear and the Tiger?
You did say that.
But that's not the title, is it?
I can't correct you.
I'm gonna help you out here.
Yeah.
Why are you helping him?
Because it's fun. There's it's split with where you're going with this.
Patriot Games is another one. Patriot Games.
Split into two.
The Teeth of the Tiger, I think, and the Claws of the Bear or something like that. Yeah.
Close, but no.
Teeth of the Tiger
is one, yes.
The Soul of the Bottlenose Dolphin.
And then like the bear is it like bear, the claw, the bear claws. Bear claws, donuts.
It's the bear.
Paula the bear.
The Lion, Witch, the Wardrobe.
And Cecil Tiberius Tiberius.
James Tiberius Kirk. Can I use Red Storm Rising? I'm putting it in.
Yes, sure.
What was the bear one?
I don't even know what you were playing.
How many are you at?
5, 6, 7. I'm only at 7. Fuck. That's it. That's all I can name. Damn it.
Damn. For me.
The Bear and the Dragon.
The Bear and the Dragon. That's what I was thinking of. Bear and the Dragon.
Is that about Jack Nicholas?
Red Rabbit.
SSN Strategies for Submarine Warfare.
Too long.
Executive orders.
Like, executive orders. I would have.
Debt of Honor. That's a fucking badass name. Without Remorse.
If I were the publisher, I'm like, give me more Debt of Honor. SS, whatever the hell, you know?
Yeah.
Without Remorse is really, really good. I read that book. I should have got that one.
And then the Cardinal of the Kremlin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a cool fucking name. That's a cool name, dude.
Yeah.
Growing up, I never knew if Tom Clancy was actually in the military. There was a part of me that were like, are they naming these books after him because he was a war hero and a cool super agent? I never knew who Tom Clancy was. And then the game started coming out, and I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. Like,
well, what I'm shocked about is that it looks like only one of these is a name I'm familiar with from games, like Rainbow Six.
But it's Splinter Cell also, but I don't think he wrote Splinter Cell.
Is that a book?
I don't think The Division was
I can't believe there's not a book called Ghost Recon. You know what I mean? I would lose Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
No, because I think all those franchises were just like they were like, we just need Tom Clancy's like name on these things.
Yeah, that's what's so bizarre to me.
Yeah, yeah, because they made a bunch of movies, obviously, about Tom Clancy. Like the first few I had named, Hunt for October, Some of All Fears, Clear and Present Danger, Patriot Games, and Rainbow. Well, Patriot Games, those are all movies that they made. And then Rainbow Six, of course, I know because of the game, which was unbelievably hard.
There was also hard game. A movie of his called Net Force.
Fuck.
That sounds cool. That sounds cool.
A Clear and Present Danger is the one that had Ben Affleck in the trailer. And he's like, it wasn't the Russian.
No, that's Some of All Fears.
The bomb is in play. The bomb is in play. So
cool. Did we figure out if he was in the military or he just really liked the military?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Published by what's his face?
Oh shit, he died.
We covered this 2013.
Tom Clancy never served in the military, the intelligence community, or any part of the U.S. government. Instead, he wrote stories of submarines fighting the Cold War, infantry fighting the drug war, and spies analysis looking for enemies in dark alleys. The crazy thing is, though, he had a lot of access to the military.
Yeah,
like he got to go on ships and stuff. They gave him a lot of access. He probably knows more shit about this than the president.
Like, there's so many images of him here with suits on, and it's like he looks like he was in the war rooms while talking about what country they're going to invade and stuff. Like, he looks so official, dude.
It's all part of his brand, dude.
That's great.
This is a challenge to all of you. There are 7 video games.
Yeah, okay.
Of Tom Clancy series. What are they?
Okay.
Rainbow Six.
The Division. Rainbow Six. Ghost Recon.
Splinter Cell.
Fuck.
Tom Clancy's Let's Get on Boats.
The rest get pretty difficult.
This, Greg, this is where you come in, fucking Jeopardy winner.
In 2008, there was one, Greg.
2008?
Tom Clancy's.
It's not like some offshoot. It has its own.
Yeah.
It's its own thing.
Okay.
Breakpoint.
I'm going to give you it. End War.
What the
Tom
fuck?
Clancy's
I do not remember End War.
I don't
if
know
If you
that
see
at all.
The box art, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that was definitely a thing. It's the Eiffel Tower, like, blowing up.
Tom Clancy's.
A lot of red.
Oh, yeah.
Was that the one where you fought aliens on the beach?
There was an End War 2? What the hell?
What next up from 2009 to 2010?
Hawks.
Hawks. HAWX.
That did not do well.
This was him. It was on PS3.
Helicopter name, right? A helicopter game?
Yeah. Well,
no, it was
not jets. Helicopters. Looks jets.
Like jets.
Oh.
And Hawks? Then the last one.
Cool fucking word.
The final one is Tom Clancy's Elite Tony Squad. Hawks.
Oh, I remember Elite Squad.
Elite Squad's new.
Oh, God. The font of Hawks sucks. Like, I remember seeing this box, and this just sucks.
Let me ask you guys this question. How come games about fighter jets never take off?
Right?
ID4, Independence Day, Sega Saturn, it was a hell of a game.
But they're so much cooler on paper.
You cannot defend that. You cannot defend that, what you just said.
I really enjoyed it. Me and Pope played it a lot.
Games about fighter jets should be the coolest thing ever, and I feel like they rarely are ever great.
It's because the controls. It's not fun to fly around in the open space. It's like Star Fox, where it's like it's super fun when it's linear, but then the boss fights when you're actually flying around, all the like looping and shit.
Oh, they're so slow.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing I wanted to. I wanted to be like a starfighter back in the day or a jet fighter. Like, I fantasize about shit like that. I wanted to be that as a kid. Dude, but then the games were just never awesome.
I know. That's why I wanted them to make. They made a fairly decent Robotech game, but they just did not have the technology to do what they needed to do with it. But Tim, it would solve your problem because your fighter can transform basically into like a robot or a half robot, half fighter and hover.
Robot.
Yeah. So you could have all sorts of cool like configurations of it. They I don't know why they just don't pick it up right now. I mean, everyone knows Robotech.
Everybody does. You know what?
When I used to play, which was like the whole like sim of like you had a bunk, you had a little terminal, you were reading your emails, then you get emails from mom or whoever, then you'd go out and run missions, and it was just like you were in the Air Force. No, you're just in the Air Force. It was jets, and that's where I was learning about.
Oh, I know. I vaguely remember something like that because I think those, like, I used to play a lot of those like aces over the Pacific games, stuff like that. Yeah.
I would appreciate a sort of relationship sim game where it's almost like the old school Mario golf games. It's really just like
RPG.
Like you're in the academy.
Okay.
And you are you're making friends, and some people are like
making some enemies.
You know, making some enemies as well, Greg. But every once in a while you go out on these jet fighter missions. but it's still mainly about
Top Gun
making the right moves,
like Mario Golf.
Yeah. I like this. So like jet fighting isn't really a main portion of the game. You do it every once in a while, but it's mostly about getting on the right side of the right people, fucking over certain people, sleeping your way to the top. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
What's up?
I mean, that begs the big question. Do you get to bang Kelly McGillis from Top Gun?
You are Tom Cruise in this movie.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you get to bang what's Nancy her name? Edwards. Jennifer, whatever her newest.
You get to bang the other muscly dude. I don't know what his name is. You can bang whoever you want, bro.
Oh, I choose Slider. Slider was great looking back then.
Bang bus.
but not the Greg. I know what you're thinking. Not the normal bang bus. It's the bang bus where they try to pull a loop de loop and then they get with the guys. Can I buzz the tower?
Mm-hmm.
Greg.
Yeah.
You started The Last Dance last night.
I did start The Last Dance.
I know you were drunk.
Pretty drunk, yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Did you watch both of the episodes?
No. But that's when we switched over. I put it out on the table for the room. I was like, because everybody enjoyed it. I was like, do you want to watch another one? And the ladies were like, no, we're going to bed. And I was like, Nick, let's Predator people.
As long as they're enjoying it, because I really want you all to keep watching it. Tim, you have not started it yet.
Not yet, but we're about to use the ExpressVPN to do it.
Oh.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, do you not have YouTube TV anymore?
Yeah, we do.
Four episodes are in the
can. Can we get there?
Yeah. you search it and it's there on demand.
Oh, okay, is it actually on demand? Okay, because I've been having to like, I have Hulu. I dropped YouTube TV because they didn't have History Channel and I couldn't watch Josh McCouga's Eating History.
See, for me, that was a big bonus to staying with YouTube.
I dropped it and I picked up Hulu TV. Hulu's UI is terrible.
It really is pretty bad.
Yeah, Hulu's UI is pretty terrible. But yeah, I mean, Tim, I'm excited for you to watch it.
Yeah, I'm stoked for it.
Back.
We were doing the
so great, dude.
We were doing the credit card statement the other day, right? Just like checking in, doing some finances stuff, and Jen was like, "All right, yeah, we're still subscribed to YouTube, Hulu." I'm like, "No, I've been using the joint account with Joey or whatever." And she's like, "There's a Hulu charge here." Sure, shit, I've just been paying for Hulu. Didn't even fucking realize. Like, yeah. God damn it! I use Hulu like once every 3 months. That's for how something
they get
weird.
You, man. That's how they get you.
Yeah, Hulu'd.
Nick, are you plan on watching this?
I really do. You guys just said it was on demand, right? I can just pay to watch it.
I believe so.
Then I would definitely do that. I gotta watch that. I gotta watch Dave at some point too.
You gotta watch Dave. Do you think you're gonna watch it by Thursday? Probably not.
I don't know.
Joey's watching. She's like halfway through.
Well, not that long of a movie.
This is not. Yeah, I want to watch it. You said it was only like what's that?
The movie Dave Greg's talking about.
What was the one where it was Kevin Klein and everyone was basically outing him for being gay? And
it was Inside Out, I think, or no, Out.
Yeah,
Out. Something like that.
Inside Out, I think it was. Yeah.
Before that other one?
No. Look. I remember watching that movie thinking this is so fucking inappropriate for all of his friends.
It was Inside Out.
To just be like, dude, you're gay.
Oh, In and Out.
That's what it is. Remember, he's like, I'm not gay. And everyone's like, dude, you're gay. And they kept like forcing him out of the closet. And I remember watching that as a kid. I'm like, I don't know a lot about the world, but I think that everyone around him is super inappropriate and like invading his privacy. Like if he wants to come out of the closet, don't you think he should do that on his own time? Or maybe
that was the thing is like, you know, he didn't know he was gay until Matt Dillon. Matt Dillon wins the award. And then Oscar basically is like, I owe it all to my teacher and he's gay. And everybody's like, what? And then turns out he's gay.
But damn, then everyone's man. Like, then everyone just keeps calling. They're like, dude, you're gay. And he's like, let me figure this out, people.
I don't know.
It out.
Matt Dillon and Neve Campbell and what was that one movie?
God, Rebecca De Mornay.
What movie was that?
it took him a while.
Wild Things.
Denise Richards. Oh, yeah. Hold on. Denise Richards in that movie is
crazy so... movie.
It's just one of those things where, like, that movie should not have worked the way it did. But boy, Andy,
it worked.
Did it work?
It worked.
How similar is it to Cruel Intentions?
No, it's similar in vibe, but the plot is completely different. The plot is like a murder mystery.
I've never seen it.
It's 90s and horny.
I just remember seeing at Blockbuster. I'd like walk by it one too many times. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Just to
check out, because it was always that shot of Denise Richards coming out of the water with her hair like slicked back and shiny, and she was
Oh my god.
Cruel Intentions is whatchamacallit? It's a remake of an older movie.
Is it a legitimately good movie though?
Cruel Intentions? It's an interesting remake.
No, it's we're talking about the one with Reese Witherspoon. Yeah, we watched that like a couple, I don't know, last year, a year before that or whatever for some reason. And it was totally that idea of like watching, you're like, oof, yeah, like it's totally, it's a nonsense teen movie. It's fun. It's a fun, goofy one. And like it ends so fucking weird. I just, well, I turned on the In-N-Out trailer and I was watching over here like, yeah. Fuck. You want to talk about a trailer that doesn't hold up and is offensive on its own. So they're telling you to watch his hands. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Cruel Intentions, based on a book called Les Liaisons Dangereuses, which was then made into a movie, I think, with Jean. I've just slaughtered that, if Genevieve Miller.
Les Enfants Terribles.
Les Enfants Terribles.
Translates to Dangerous Liaisons.
Hell,
which
yeah.
Was a movie they made, I think, with John Malkovich and like Michelle Pfeiffer back in the day. And then they decided to, similar to how they did like Emma is the story basically like Clueless is based off of, they decided to bring it into the modern era with Ryan Phillippe and Reese Witherspoon.
Emma was really.
Yeah, Emma. That blew my mind. Someone was like, did you know that the story of Emma is just Clueless? And I'm like, they fucking ripped off Clueless? That's bullshit.
Did they have a Rolling with the Homies?
They definitely did. And like, there's a ton of mentions to like the Cranberries. So
wow,
good.
That's crazy.
You love it.
Isn't that Greg Miller? You know everything. Isn't that the CD he lost? He's like, I gotta go to the quad to get my Cranberry CD.
You said that last time around, and I told you I hadn't watched Clueless that closely, and that's... you were offended by that. And
Paul Rudd's grading in. Tim, I just want to throw this out really, really quickly, just to get back to the Michael Jordan doc.
The Last Dance.
The Last Dance, dude. There's a fucking moment, man, where Dennis Rodman, old the Worm.
The Worm.
Greg told me that his grandmother loved the Worm. Or who loved the Worm?
Grandma Miller.
Grandma Miller loved the Worm, Dennis Rodman. And he's the bad boy, right? He's the bad boy.
Colorful heroin, right?
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah, just nuts. This dude would score 0 points a night and get like 25 rebounds. There's a great part where they're talking about like whoever was shooting, he knew where the ball was going to bounce off and they missed it. He's like, oh, it's got this spin, that's going to come this way. He just knew rebounds. And he would see it in his head like a fucking Beautiful Mind. There's a moment where he's like, in the middle of the season, he's like, I need to take a vacation. They're like, what are you talking about? We're in the middle of the fucking season. He's like, I just need to go. I need to get out. And Phil Jackson's like, he's got to get out. The coach. And Michael Jordan's like, Phil, if you give him a vacation, we're not going to see him ever again. And then Phil Jackson's like, is 48 hours enough, Dennis? And he's like, I could do 48 hours.
But was there a game? Did he miss a
playing.
Game?
Yeah. Like he so
missed
games.
A couple games.
So 48 hours becomes a lot more hours than that. And he's just missing. And he's like, I went to Vegas. And the episode fucking ends, dude. And it's like, that's number two. What happens when he actually goes to Vegas?
Fuck, I want to watch this so
dude,
bad.
Dude, it's so, and it's like, and Carmen Electra is being interviewed and she's still amazingly attractive. Like,
what
it's
did she
so
have to do?
Great.
With this.
She was married. Yeah. She was married. I forgot. I knew they were banging a lot.
Dennis Rodman had a good run there for
all these stories have been repopping up about like how Carmen Electra in the back in the day mentioned how he would take her to the Bulls facility and they'd bang everywhere, like on the court, in the stands, they would just be banging everywhere.
God bless them. You know,
And then I sort of remember this video that I saw on Vice where Dennis Rodman talks about breaking his dick three separate times during sex. No, he goes into grave detail about three different times that like one of them, a woman's like in bed with her legs up. She's like, I want you to run from this, the other side of the room and just jump into me.
Oh, and see, did, that doesn't seem dumped, like
broke my dick. Like,
I don't like that. I want that to never happen.
Like what if you watch the video that Vice put out, this is about 3 years ago. It is so difficult to watch and listen to because the things he says, it's just like, ugh, like I want to vomit. It's so disgusting.
But like it must be so obviously a huge amount of pressure on you. But also you can pretty much do whatever the fuck you want, right? Because he was like a rock star when of sports.
It's so nuts because like if that shit would not fly today. I don't know. In terms of like the public reacting to it, I feel like. Back then, it seemed like such a fine, okay thing to do. But I can't imagine now if LeBron James were in the middle of a title run to be like, I'm going to take a few days off and just go to Vegas and party And there's and the documentary crew follow him to Vegas. And he's still in Vegas just drinking shots at night and shit. And then Carmen Electra mentions, well, I didn't really know that, like, the schedule. I didn't know they were still playing games until Michael Jordan is knocking on our hotel room being like, we got to get you the fuck out of here. Like, we're leaving. Get, come back with us. Like, it's fucking insane, dude. I just can't imagine that. And it, when I think about how social media reacts to stuff nowadays, yeah. like, that along with Michael Jordan retiring to go play baseball, like, can you imagine any of that shit happening today? No.
It's like never retiring. You could, no. would still happen. That would still be a thing that could happen.
We're talking about the biggest like celebrity of all time.
There's no fucking way LeBron James is going to take a year off to go play baseball.
Just or no any way. Other sport. It's just so weird, no. you know?
Andy, I'll tell you one thing right now, though. As you talk, I'm seeing a lot of similarities between the Dennis Rodman story and this movie that we're writing about you leaving for a few days yeah. to go hang out with Funhouse.
Wow. Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Going to
yeah.
Vegas is like going to Funhouse.
It's basically for you. It is for, yeah. you know, because that's like
it's
your
a blast. It's so much fun.
Yeah. You guys get to hang out and just play games and pet yeah, Benson.
It's really cool.
I just YouTube searched Broke My Dick. And it is, in fact, the first video that pops up is Dennis Rodman on Three Ways to Break Your Dick, Party Legends. And it's an animated video.
Yeah. No, it's him talking no, and they no. animate a lot.
No, no.
There's no gore or anything, but oh my God, I'm getting chills.
Don't want to do anything about it. Getting the ugly chills. Let's get a palate cleanser in here and hear a word from our sponsor. What's up, everybody? This episode of the Kind of Funny podcast is brought to you by Purple. Technology has improved just about everything, phones, cars, and shopping, yet mattresses have more or less stayed the same since the invention of sleep. But we deserve better, and finally the mattress has evolved thanks to Purple. The secret to Purple is the Purple Grid. It's a patented comfort technology that instantly adapts to your body's natural shape and sleep style. Purple is for everybody, no matter how you sleep. Purple is designed with over 2,800 open air channels and naturally temperature neutral gel. You'll never sleep too hot or too cold. This is why our own Tim Geddes and Gia Tap Harris love it. Tim was just talking about this, the fact that they got this one, obviously. They sleep on it, and the fact that Gia, who is always running hot, Tim, who's always running cold, they're fine. They don't have to worry about it. There's actually separation there. It's going through the air channels. Everybody's comfortable, and everybody likes it. The Purple mattress is soft where you want it, firm where you need it, and comfortably cool all over. It truly is a mattress that does it all. You can count on resting easy night after night, year after year, because the ultra durable Purple Grid won't sink or lose shape. Purple is so confident in what they do that every Purple mattress comes with free shipping and returns and a risk-free 100-night trial. Experience the next evolution of sleep just like Tim is. Go to purple.com/kindoffunny and use the promo code kindoffunny for a limited time. You'll get $150 off any Purple mattress order over $1,500 or more. That's purple.com/kindoffunny, promo code kindoffunny for $150 off any mattress order of $1,500 or more. Terms apply. Now, the thing about it, yeah.
That's the one you're going to go out with the sponsor?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been trying for a while, and it just kept getting worse. So we're just going through. Right, we're just going through, Nick. That was always the thing about, you know, my mom points this out because I obviously didn't, you know, I wasn't cognizant of it. But, like, you know, Dennis Rodman, of course, the bad boy, as you said. And remember when he put out his book, and his book was all about his sexual escapades with Madonna and Carmen Electra and all this stuff. And Grandma Miller bought that book because she was the biggest Bulls fan and would sit there and read it. And Grandma Miller went to church 3 times a week and was like, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy this like dual life my grandmother lived, because she was like such a Bulls fan and like to that ride or die thing. And I was home last year for my birthday. I was hanging out with my cousins, and they were telling me stories of, you know, one of their husbands of, you know, when he used to, Grandma Miller used to have him over for games, and like they'd have beers together. And I was like, oh my God, that's awesome. Like, I never thought of my grandmother drinking beers. Like, you know what I mean? But there she was drinking beers, watching the Bulls, having a great
cursing
time.
At the Bulls,
reading about Dennis Rodman, fucking Madonna or whatever.
I mean, think about that though. That guy was like, he really was for like, he was one of those like celebrities that just
ruled the
crossed
world over.
So fucking big, and they crossed over into like being a personality and being a celebrity. But then there was just like, you knew, and I don't know why we as a human race do this, but everyone gets behind these people and we're like, dude, this guy fucking doesn't care, he's a rock star. Party. He says fuck it to the man. But then there's some part of all of us that are like, the clock's ticking,
celebrity dust
before we turn on him.
We are like, and I don't know when. But there's always one thing that happens where it's just a bridge too far, and everyone just decides to turn, and then Dennis Rodman has to flee to fucking like North Korea and hang out with Kim Jong-un, if he is still alive. I don't know. I have no idea still.
We should ask him. We should ask Dennis Rodman.
If Dennis Rodman would know, he'd be able to.
Yeah, because they talk about how he's just a normal basketball player who's kind of different. And then Madonna comes along, thinks he's hot, and suddenly they're dating. And from then on, it's like
crazy hair.
Apparently, Madonna taught him to just kind of like not give a fuck about anything and be like, I'm going to be me. I'm going to dye my hair. I'm going to wear lipstick and I'm going to, you know, have piercings all over my face and stuff. And that's just. He just kind of became this free spirit from then on, you know.
Do you guys know, like, because I know this is one of the stupid things, and I know it couldn't possibly be nationwide, but in Chicago, when all this was happening and it was crazy, and the Bulls were the biggest show on earth, kind of thing, that McDonald's sold cups that had Dennis Rodman on them, and when you filled them with the beverage, the hair color would change.
That's
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's funny. That's
really cool.
Yeah,
I hope that's not a regional thing. I hope that was like a worldwide thing.
Who the fuck is Dennis Rodman?
I'm gonna tell you guys
this. Everybody knew, dude. No way.
We in the Scarpino household, you guys know that the Scarpinos don't have hobbies. We were not a sporting family. We played music. That was pretty much it. But I don't even think we enjoyed that. It was. I distinctly remember only ever in the 18 years that I lived at that house, ever watching like one series of basketball games, and it was the Bulls championships games. We would watch one fucking game of anything in the house. It was usually the Super Bowl. But this year, for whatever reason, we were like, we got to watch the Bulls win the fucking championship series. And I guess we have to. And it was the first time I remember seeing him and being like, who the fuck is the guy with the dyed hair and like the tongue rings and the shit and the tattoos and all that cool shit? Like, I knew who Michael Jordan was because,
of course,
he was everywhere. He was like ubiquitous with sports and fucking dope shoes. But yeah, like I remember seeing those guys and being like, this is crazy. And then never watched another basketball game since.
I remember it's a funny thing of like, you want to talk about like how Bulls fever swept Chicago, obviously. But I'll never forget. There's this like juxtaposition in my life. When the Bulls won their first championship ever, my parents did not care about sports. And we were watching something else on whatever Fox, whatever movie was on or whatever the hell it was that night. No, they didn't like sports. We're watching baseball. And the ticker came across the bottom of the screen. The old school one, Nick, where it was just the white text across, no background, no nothing. It was like usually saved for an alien invasion or whatever. And it was said, Bulls win first championship. And like, you know what I mean? And I remember my parents not even wanting to flip the channel to even go see what the fuck was going on. Cut to, I think, Andy, I'll need you, especially because you're deeper in the documentary, if they got to this yet or which one it was. But I want to say it was for the three-peat. That it might have been even the second one, but when John Paxson hit that three-pointer, I remember my mom flipping out in the living room watching that happen. And I remember even at that time being like, this is so fucking weird. Like, however many years ago it was, you didn't even give a shit. And now we're here. Yeah. But it was, you couldn't escape it. You know what I mean? Even I had a fucking Michael Jordan basketball because it was like, well, yeah, this guy, they kind of
they get to there where, you know, MJ was kind of like looked upon as not a team player. Like, he was a ball hog. He was going to score a lot of points, but he wasn't going to win rings. And then they talked, and then John Paxson's in the documentary, of course. And he's like, yeah, he would pass to me and I made the shot. And then he realized, oh, I have teammates that can help. And they talked to Michael Jordan about that. And everybody's just like, yeah, that's the moment that he grew. And that's the moment that he kind of became the leader and realized that he didn't have to do it all on his own. Dude, it's so good.
It was for the three-peat.
Sundays are like so excited for me now, knowing that I have two more episodes to watch. Like, there's two more Sundays left, four episodes left. There's two episodes a night. So I'm super excited about it, man. It's so well made. And what you'll really appreciate, what I think all of you, is there are moments where they go into like hardcore highlight mode where it's slow-mo plays from just Jordan just dominating, but they're playing like old school 80s hip hop.
Oh,
and
yes.
It's just so fucking sick, dude. the editing and everything is so incredibly done, man.
A really good documentary where they have a good budget and actual access to people is unbeatable.
Oh yeah.
Because I can't tell you how many documentaries I've seen like stumbled across of subjects of things that I like, and I'm like, you guys had no money for this whatsoever, and you did your best and it's interesting, but how much cooler would this have been if you had $500,000 or $1 million and access to all the key players in this thing.
They mentioned on the Dan Le Batard show that they got everybody they wanted. There wasn't one person they asked for that they couldn't get.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, fucking Obama's
really cool.
Yeah, did you see this, Tim, where Obama's in it, but it says Barack Obama, former Chicago resident.
That's like baller. Incredible. You know, yeah. He told him to do that. He was probably like, just put that. Yeah.
That's
put that.
So that's cool. Well, I think they did it because he's just there to talk about what it was like to be in Chicago at that time when the Bulls sucked and he was too broke to get a ticket when Jordan started being great. And that's such a great way to frame it, right?
So
I love it.
Awesome.
Well, I'm excited. Your homework. Go watch that. Everybody watch that. Nick, figure it out. Tim, get your Express VPNs or use the YouTube. Josh McCuga, sorry, I can't watch your show.
I'm on like episode 4 of Josh's show.
Of Josh's show. We watched the first 2 of it. And it's cool.
What do you guys think? In your theater?
I was like, then what happened?
Yeah. Well, no, we watched them back to back and like we might go back. But yeah, it hit a point where it was like, we're not gonna binge this in one sitting.
I love it. It's fun. Yeah. Like it's just so
definitely it's entertaining for
it's what so it is. Cool seeing him there. Yeah. The format is fun. Like I think they're fun, like catching their stride with what. You know, we're going to try out these foods, but then we're going to go on location somewhere to go try something. You know, let's
see. Yeah. Oh, that's fun. This is like such a shitty thing to say, but I stand by it. It just reminds me of how much I just want a Makuga show. It's like,
you broke up.
You bleeped yourself there. Yeah.
I just want a Makuga show. It's I'm watching this. I'm like, I love him. And anytime his personality shines through, I'm like, I just want more of this. Like,
yeah.
Everything it's wrapped in, I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I love this.
I want a show about Amanda and Josh's life, just the two of them.
Yeah, I would take anything, really.
Going to parties. I laughed so hard when he ate something and said, this tastes like a basement.
Yeah. Like, God, he has some great lines for sure.
Oh, yeah.
How's old Smokey?
He's all right.
Really? Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kind of Funny podcast each and every week. 4 best friends gather around this table.
Man, you're talking shit.
Hey, man.
Talking shit about everything.
I'm in that mood. I'm getting spicy because I didn't have enough spice today.
No, he's good.
Call him back, Greg. Let him know.
Call old Smokey.
I called Smokey. Listen,
no, he's good. But like, you know, I'd watch a Makuga show.
You love Makuga. Makuga's the best. We know. Yeah. We know this about him.
Jeopardy. Sorry, Greg.
I wish I could trade him out for Nick.
You can.
Josh Pretty's going to go live on YouTube.com/kindoffunny on Saturday. The one that
we're doing that on our show on Saturday?
Yeah. Oh, that's so fun.
Nice. Stop hitting
me. I'm going to do another one. I want vindication.
Tim, how many White Claws you win right now?
0.
I don't like the spicy Tim.
I want Andy on my team for the next Jeopardy.
That's not how it works. Sorry. You can't have teammates like that. If you didn't know, you have a Kind of Funny podcast, blah, blah, blah. Each and every week, we gather around and bullshit around. If you want to be part of the bullshit, no problem. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Give us your questions, comments, concerns. You can get the show ad-free. You can watch it live as we record it, just like Cameron Kennedy, Washburn, Tor Banakas. And, of course, you can get into the show we're about to do. I tried.
It's been a long day, man.
The post show we're about to do. If you have no bucks toss our way, though, you can go to youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week to see what we are up to. But for now, post show time. If you're not coming with us, I understand. It's been our pleasure to serve you.